Most of you know that I believe in the revelation of the Lord Jesus. I speak about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I know that everything that you get from God is the revelation. I know that. Everything that you get from God is revelation. You know, He reveals Himself to you. God is a spirit and He reveals Himself to you, and that's revelation. And that's great. That's wonderful. But on the other hand, there is what we refer to as the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which is the deep hidden mysteries of God. The mysteries of God, Revelation, the book of Revelation, here we read it, it speaks of the hidden mysteries of God. And as I've said so many times, I served God for quite a number of years. I never did understand anything about any deep mysteries. I didn't know there was any deep mysteries. I just know the Bible spoke of deep mysteries. And when I come to understand baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thought I'd done got into the deep mysteries, because that was very mysterious to me. I never could figure the thing out, and finally it was revealed to me. And I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When it was revealed to me, one God, one faith, one baptism. But I come to find out that that is just the very beginning. That's just the entrance into the wonderful hidden mysteries of God. And when Paul spoke of praying that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that in speaking to the people, he said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like for you to hear what the Spirit hath to say unto the churches. And as we say so often, as to the prophet who said, having ears ye hear not, and having eyes ye see not. All these things, see, people hear and people see. I had been serving God for many years, and I could see and I could hear. I went to church. I believed in the right thing. I tried to live holy and godly and clean to the best of my ability. Though I stumbled and staggered, we all have. There's none good but Him. That's the Lord Jesus. But it is a true fact from the first time that I really come to understand God, that I have tried my best to live perfectly before Him in every thought, every impulse of the body. And I come to something. I come to know something about the Lord Jesus. I don't believe in deceit. I don't believe in being worldly and half in and half out and doing half your own thing. And, you know, I spoke of a move of God that would come forth that would be charismatic. And I spoke of this a long time ago, numbers of years ago. And I said, it'll be charismatic. I said, they'll shout and they'll sing and they'll dance and they'll clap their hands. I said, the Pope will put his blessings on. I said, but they won't live holy. I said, they won't believe in holiness. And they won't leave worldliness. Whereas the Bible says, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. And I said, and the whole world will get into it. The Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Catholics, the non-denominationals. I said, all of them will get into it. And so it's come to pass. As a matter of fact, even Oral Roberts, as great and mighty as he's gotten into it. But see, that's not the answer. That doesn't bring us the hidden mysteries of God, nor does it bring the deep, wonderful things of Christ that's going to translate the church. It is a true fact, the shouting and clapping your hand and having a good time, that's good. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You should do that. Praying for the sick, seeing the sick get healed, all that's good. But that still doesn't take the place of what God meant for you. All of that was just to draw you to something. And that was to the wounded breast of Jesus, that you might find the deep hidden mind of Christ. And that God might be revealed to you, God the invisible spirit, might be revealed to you or to your inner man through the mind of Jesus Christ. So He alone dwelling in that light, He alone hath immortality. So we can do all kind of things. We can preach on TV. We can have tent meetings. We can have revivals. We can get our picture in the paper. We can do all the things, you know, that the world does. But when you get through, it doesn't spell anything unless you've got the revelation of the Son of God. It doesn't spell anything. And if you jump up and down like children splattering in the water having a good time, that's good. You know, to desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. Nothing wrong with it. If you have a dozen preachers and they preach you into a shout and they preach you into a scream, if they preach to you till you holler and have a good time, that's great. The milk of the word's great. If a miracle takes place, that's great. If a healing takes place, that's great. But that's still not what God is wanting you to have. He wants you to have all of those things plus. And until you get to the place to where you understand God and the deep hidden mysteries, then you haven't really obtained your goal. Someone would say, oh no, Brother Pike, if we get miracles, then that is the ultimatum. No, that is not the ultimatum. If you get miracles, you've done no more than the 70. They went out and they done all those kind of things, and then 70 of them went right back to the world. And Jesus said all 70 of them left him. And if you see visions and you can tell people thoughts, that's not the ultimatum. That's gifts. That's great. The Bible said desire gifts. That's fine. But Balaam could do all of that. He could see God. The Bible said he could see the Lord with his eyes open. I'm the man, he said, that can see him with my eyes open. But he loved the wages of unrighteousness. So that isn't it. But if you want to really do something for God, live holy and godly and pure. Live an overcoming life. Drawing close to the Lord Jesus. Learn to be like Jesus. We sing that song so often, to be like Jesus. Learn to be like Jesus. This is what God's wanting. See, God has something for you. I say this so often. When Jesus was out there talking to the people, the disciples knew that he wasn't telling those people something, that he was revealing to them. And they said, why is it that you speak to those people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? Jesus said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Unto you it is given, but unto them it is not given. Unto them it is given that the gospel should be preached to them. The gospel should go into all the world for a witness. But as to the mysteries, it's only given to the church. It is for the translation of the church, and it's the only thing that will translate the church. And not only is it the only thing, it is the translation. So we read here to you in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. It's called the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, that is unto Jesus, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So I say to you again, when you say the revelation of Jesus Christ, then that means the time is at hand. So then with Paul, he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. He received this great, wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. When you say the revelation of Jesus Christ, you know, people say, give it to me, Brother Pike, or give it to me, Brother Taylor, or whoever's got it, you know, say, give it to me. Up at the airport, we met those singers. What was the name of those singers? The Giants. You probably know them out of Mississippi. They recognized us from a magazine that they'd seen us in, and they caught us going through the airport there at the station in Atlanta, and they said, Brother Pike. I said, yep, that's me. So they said, we recognize you. So we stopped, and we got to talking. And one of them was this little fellow. What's this little fellow on television? Who was he, Betty? Ricky. What kind of movie was that they had? Some famous movie they have on TV. They call it Little Ricky, you know. I Love Lucy. Okay. Anyway, he was there with them, you know. And he's been converted. And they got to talking to him, and they said, I got to talking about the revelation. They said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, give it to us, brother. Give it to us right now. Give it to us right now. You know? And I thought, you know, what do you do? You know, it didn't take Paul but about 3.5 years to get into it after that he had studied all of his life before. And here they were, you know, they were passing and had to catch a plane quick. We had to catch a plane quick, and they wanted to get it in between time. So I said that to say this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, that takes a whole lot of doing. That takes a whole lot of saying. That takes a whole lot of understanding. It's something that the professors can't get. It's something that you can't get out of college. Brother Taylor lacked just a few hours in college, in Bible college, when he came to be with us. And had you ever gotten the revelation of the Lord Jesus, Brother Taylor? He said he never did hear it in all of his study in college. So you don't get it in Bible college, and you don't get it going to church, and you don't get it from the minister. It has to be revealed to you. It's revelation. The Bible said God has placed this higher above. That is, his thoughts are higher above our thoughts than the heavens is the earth. and that he hath hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and made it revelation unto babes such as are willing to learn. So Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, he said, I can't. Just as I, the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. And then he also spoke and said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. So then you can be a Christian and still not have the spirit of revelation. There's one spirit, many operations. So you should pray for the gift of healing, or the gifts of healing, that is, desire the gifts. You should pray that God will bless you. Pray that God will give unto you the spirit of revelation. Well, these wonderful things that we speak of, you may be a minister. I was a minister for many years. And I see great ministers. I see men that are terrifically great. I've communicated with some of them, like Brother Jimmy Swaggart and others. And these men are the most outstanding men on the field, like Oral Roberts and different ones. Those kind of people. I see those people. And I've met some of them. And I've talked to some of them. And like Brother Roberts that asked for our literature here. I saw him in a vision looking in this direction. And they asked for all of the literature that we have. Everything that you've had in the past. Everything that you've got now. And everything that you're going to get in the future. He said, I want it all. See, now they know that something is happening. And they get a hold of something. See, and they understand, and they're trying to get everything that they can. But with all of the greatness of those great men, I still don't hear them preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't hear it. I hear them say great things. I hear a lot of men preaching. But I don't hear them preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, they've got it, Brother Pike. Well, that's good and well. If they have, that's fine. I've no dispute with them. All I say is that if they do have it, they should preach it. Because that's what we're supposed to be preaching. A lot of times we come to the audience and we go to speak to the audience and we find out that there is an anointing, there is a real listening kind of a spirit, a real good attitude, as we would say. But we don't have the time to get into revelation. And then sometimes we have the time to get into revelation, but we find out that the spirit for revelation is not there as to the hunger, the thirst, and the contentment of the people as to enter into it. So it's real rare a lot of times to be able to get into the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we exhort you sometimes, we teach you sometimes. Paul said, a teacher and a preacher. I am a teacher, I'm a preacher. And we do whatever the Lord allows us to do. Now, I want to read just a little bit here. I've read this numbers of times, but I want to refer back to it in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation and comment just a little bit. Now, I know when I speak of these things, if I should get into Revelation, that numbers of you will not understand what I'm saying. You won't receive it. You can't receive it. The Bible said you cannot receive anything except it be given you to, you know, by God. So I know that you can't receive it. You can't understand it. But just go ahead and do the best you can with it. Ask the Lord to bless you. And we have singing and praising the Lord and the other things that can feed you and help you find the milk of the word. But on the other hand, you that have exercised your senses. The Bible said the meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. So you that have been exercising your senses, listen and pray. And let's try to enter into the mind of God and get God to speak to us, that we might be able to hear the wonderful things that God wants us to know. Somebody came to me with, I guess came to my wife. Maybe she passed it on to me. Somebody had wrote a little note and had put down that they had a vision. Maybe it's one of you in here. Been numbers of visions where Jimmy Carter was here at Little Bethlehem and Reagan's and other great celebrities. And of course, this was about Reagan and Sister Betty and Coletta King, I believe it is, or something like that. And they were here. And the person said they had this vision. And in this vision, they saw all of these great, mighty things taking place. And they saw men like Oral Roberts, they named, and Jimmy Swaggart and Shuler, a number of others. And said they saw these men and they looked like, I guess the word was mayors. Is that right? Looked like mayors. I guess rulers of the city or whatever you know. I never did understand the word real good, but I thought it said mayors. But said the thing that fascinated them was that it went on to the great white throne of judgment. But apparently before this they saw all of these great men, and they were taking a bow to what we have here at Bethlehem, which would have to be the revelation, because that's what we have at Bethlehem. But anyway, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is the translation of the church. It is the translation. Now, you could never get that unless you're called for that. Unless you're part of the elect, you could never get that. You'd find all kind of things that you like better. And you'd never get it because your eyes would never be open to it. And you would dispute from now on with me or anybody else that is getting into it. Because to you, you couldn't understand it. It is not given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Though you say, bless God, I got it. I know I got it. Bless God, I got it. But when you finish, it's just like it was when you started. It wasn't given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's only given to the elect that they might make the translation, for it is the translation. So then we get into these things and we talk about it, and maybe you don't understand it at all. Somebody would say, well, God's no respect of person. He'll give it to me too. He didn't give it to Judas. He didn't give it to Esau. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears and found no place of repentance. And Judas didn't get it. Judas went out and hung himself because he couldn't get it. And he walked with him every day. He heard the Lord talk every day, but he still didn't get it. So then, it is up to you as to surrender your heart, surrender your life, surrender your mind, forget how great you are and who you are and what you are and what you're doing, and remember how great He is and how wonderful He is, and think about His thing and what He wants to do, and surrender to Him and conform to Him and forget about your greatness and forget about what you know and who you know and what you've been, and just do whatever He wants you to do. And you'll find yourself with all sincerity moving right into the wonderful kingdom of God and into the great, mighty revelation of the Son of God. I'm going to say a few things here. I've already spoke about these things a number of times to some of the audience here, but I haven't been able to really clarify them. So I took about two or three different little text exhortations to try to get the thoughts over to the people. It says, chapter 4, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. As a matter of fact, the little thing that was given to Sister Betty, that was one thing I remember that was in the writing, said, and now the Lamb is on the throne. That's what it was. Now the Lamb is on the throne. All right, so then we see right here the opening of the book, the seals upon the book, and then they're open. Prior to that, we see a door open in heaven. And then we find over here in Revelation 10, And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And I went kind of hurriedly along in reading this so that I might read as much as I did. Here is something that is really outstanding. In the 10th chapter, here is an angel. John sees him with his head up into heaven, his feet on the land and the sea, and he has the book here that is open. Now, over here in chapter 4, the door is open in heaven. Chapter 5, there is a book, but it is closed. And then the Lamb takes the book and unseals the book, and suddenly we look here at the finishing of the mysteries, Revelation 10 and 7. And it said the book was open. The angel stands with the book open, and he is standing there. John is told to take the book, eat the book, and it will be bitter to the belly. Remember, bitter to the belly. The Bible said God has put the serpent on his belly, and all of his labor is for his belly, because his belly craves it of him. John laid the axe to the root of the tree to cut down the tree all the way from Calvary back to the garden, because that was the generation of vipers. That was those that were on their belly, and they that are under the law, that have never come to God, that are people that love the things of the world, they are the serpent. God spoke as to Jacob, saying, Thy worm, Jacob, I will help thee. In the first stages of life, as to birth, you are the serpent. You are the generation of vipers. If you never get beyond the first birth, then you are a viper. You are on your belly. All of your labor is for your belly and your mouth, because it craves it of you. But God told John,
to lay the axe to the root of the tree, and he cut down that tree. And so then we that are on this side of Calvary, that is, that's been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, that is seeing the door open, caught up into heaven, into the revelation of the Son of God, having been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, we are not among the generation of vipers. We're not among the lustful. All of these things that's taking place right now with Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker and Oral Roberts and all these other things, right now, I tell you this again, has to do with the fall of Lucifer. It has to do with the fall of Lucifer and the casting out of the stars, and a third part that Revelation speaks of, where the serpent, he curls his tail around the third part and casts him down to the earth. And it's the same old crime, it's the same old sin, the same thing with Adam and Eve back there. The same thing is happening. It's that lust and that passion and that adulterous generation that Jesus spoke of. Having gotten into religion, the Bible said, and the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel. That is, he's got up into the religious place, and in that he has, there is a second heaven that he is caught into. He's caught into the second heaven. He's way up here. He's not down here in the first heaven, nor is he up yonder in the third heaven, but he is in the second heaven. That is because of the grace of God and the blood on the seat of atonement, and this of humanity being separated from God, then God has to create a place as to a place to mediate. And this is why Jesus hung between heaven and earth. I've said this a number of times. Going up this way, Satan crossed him this way. And it became a battle in the heavenlies that's recorded in the book of Daniel, and it's recorded in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. So then when we see this, we know that the second heaven is falling. Why is the second heaven falling? Because the Bible said heaven and earth would pass away. Said, but we look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That is to say, there is a third heaven that we are looking forward to. And Paul spoke of being caught up into this third heaven, saying that he received of God the revelation of Jesus Christ. John here sees a door open in heaven. The very same door that Peter opened. The very same door that Peter opened when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And they said, one of the prophets and whatever. He said, who do you think that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, Peter, you've opened the door. He said, Peter, you've looked beyond the veil. He said, Peter, here's the key. He said, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. You didn't go to college to get this. Somebody didn't teach you this. Paul said, I wasn't taught this, but by the revelation of the Son of God. And Jesus said, Peter said, that's a revelation. He said, my Father, Holy Spirit, that is, hath revealed this unto thee. Nobody has told you this. There's never been anything taught like this, Peter. Said, but this thing is revealed to you. You've got the key. You've got the key to the kingdom. Go now. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom has come. And Peter, you go preach the kingdom. And you open the door both to the Gentiles and to the Jews. You open the door. And here it was. Peter opened the door, which was the rent veil showing the Christ. And Jesus immediately went to Calvary and rent the veil in twain. And I say again, the Bible said he made in himself two. He made in himself twain. He made in himself both Lord and Christ. That is, Lord is to the fallen image. That is to say, Adam, the first man Adam, being made in the image of sin. That my body might be separated from my inner man, and my body is now dead because of sin, and I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, buried in a watery grave, and I'm no more in the flesh, for the Bible said I'm not in this world, for God has chosen me out of this world and hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of restoring or the restoration of all things. Rejoice ye that are in heaven. You're sitting in heavenly places. Rejoice then forevermore. Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. So then God rent the veil in two. The door was open. The Lord was separated from the Christ. It was now rent in twain. The temple that Jesus had spoken to them about, saying, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. And the Bible said, they being carnally minded, they being fleshly minded, they understood not that he spake of his body, but his body is the temple. Paul tells us that ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost. God has rent the veil in twain. Brother Taylor sang that song, he's rent the veil in two. So he rent the veil in twain. He rent the veil in two, that is. And so then the Lord was separated from the Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So a door was open in heaven. John said, and I saw a door that was open in heaven. And it wasn't but just a few short years after the rent veil. After the opening of this door, just a few short years, and here John is over here on the Isle of Patmos. From 33 to 96, and here he is on the Isle of Patmos, and he's getting the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the revealing of the Antichrist. He is now getting the revelation of the Son of God. He is now seeing beyond the veil. He's now looking beyond the rent veil, and he's seeing the Christ. And I say this to you again that you might understand. The Bible says that this was given unto us in Christ before the world ever was. All of the callings of God, all of the gifts of God are without repentance. And I hope you can understand what I'm saying. You cannot repent and come to God and get salvation. I know, you know, you jump on me, somebody, they jump on me and they say, Brother Pike, you're clear out of your mind. You're eccentric. There is no possible way that you can repent and come to God and get salvation. Because God doesn't give salvation like that. He doesn't give the gift of eternal life like that. He doesn't give the gift of a prophet. You can't repent and come to God and then decide that you want to be a prophet. You know, or you get to be a religious person and you're going to make yourself a prophet. Or you're going to be some kind of prophet. You don't get those things like that. All of the gifts of God, all of the callings of God, eternal life, salvation, is something that was given to humanity in Christ before the world ever was. And the Bible speaks in the book of Revelation saying that, and those whose names were not found written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, they wandered after the beast. That is to say, the beast being the flesh, they wander after the flesh. They go after the flesh. They do the things of the flesh. It doesn't matter if they are a preacher. It doesn't matter if they are sold to be a Christian. They still want the ball games. They still want the frolics. They still have the love of the world. They still allow for the things of the flesh. They still gossip, backbite. They still want money and fame and prestige, whether it's as a preacher or whatever, because they love the things of this world. But God has chosen us in Christ before the world ever was. And the Bible said we are God's elect according to what God foreknew of us. We are God's elect according to foreknowledge. And the Bible said them that he did foreknow, he wrote their names down in the Lamb's book of life, and he predestinated them that they might be the predestinated sons and daughters of God. Or that is, he predestinated them, gave us this in Christ before the world ever was, wrote our names down in the Lamb's book of life by slaying the Lamb and using his blood to put it there. And I wish we had time to elaborate on that. But we find that when Paul come preaching the gospel, the Bible said he preached the gospel, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life, they believed, and the rest did not believe. Only those that were before of old ordained unto eternal life. So it was given to us in Christ before the world ever was, and brought to light at the rent veil. It was brought to light at Calvary when the veil was rent. And John, he began to write. And here John said, I see the heavens open, the rent veil, looking at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of the Christ. Here was Moses, and here comes the prophet like unto Moses. And here was Moses, but God was in the veil. I'm making you God to the people, Moses. This was God in the veil. But when Jesus came, being in the veil, he unveiled it. He took away the veil, and then he let us see. Not as through a glass darkly, as to the carnal intellectual concept of that which was with Moses, or that that was under the law, but by the eyes of understanding, Paul said, enlightened, we comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. So, when we see through the eyes of Christ, we're not looking through a glass darkly as to the veil of death, as to the covering of darkness. Not that kind of intellectual reasoning, but we're looking through the light of the Son of God. We're looking through the eyes of the Son of God. We're now seeing face to face. We know as we're known. Moving into the revelation of the Son of God. The world doesn't see this, for the Bible said, and they cannot see when good cometh. For Satan hath blinded their eyes, even the eyes of their understanding, that they can't see, that they can't understand. See, they love the things of this world. But them that are preordained for that great world, for that third heaven, for the great wonderful mind of God, it is the catching up of the man-child. It is the going away, coming out of the second heaven, coming out of the second realm. You look around you and you see this religious warfare. That's war in heaven. Revelation speaks of it, war in heaven. See, they're having war. Jimmy Swaggart is fighting against Oral Roberts, and Oral Roberts against Jimmy Swaggart, and thus against Baker, and Jim Baker against them. See, it's war in heaven. It's a religious realm. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, Revelation 12, that the devil was in heaven. John saw this dragon in heaven. The old blood life, the red dragon, that of the first birth. See, that's of the lust of the flesh. He saw it in heaven. It wasn't in the earth. He looked and saw this great thing taking place in heaven. Because the church is in heaven. The devil is in heaven. As long as the blood is on the seat of atonement. As long as the blood is on the seat of atonement. As I preached to you a little earlier. This message or similar to what we're saying here. As long as the blood is on the seat of atonement. That means the devil is in heaven. That means the devil is living in the lives of human beings. And those human beings have the grace of God. And a lot of times it's because of their ignorance that God allows that. But during this time, the devil can come before God just like he did in the days of Job. See, you've got to remember, folks, there is another world present. You and I may not see this world. We may not be spiritual. We may not see this world, but I remind you again, the man Elijah, he was a man like you are a man. The Bible said Elijah was a man of like passion to let us know that it was nothing out of the ordinary. As to Elijah, he just prayed and God heard his prayer. He was a man of like passion, but he stood there and this man that was so afraid, his little servant, he was so afraid of the enemy. And you remember how that Elijah said to him, said, don't be afraid. They that are with us are more than they that are against us. And open his eyes, Lord. And all of a sudden, here stood the prancing horses. And here stood those heavenly creatures. And here were the chariots of fire. Right there. As the Bible said, when you and I come together, the Bible teaches that if we come together in the name of the Lord, then Christ is in the midst of us. And the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him. So then we know that God is with us. We know that there's another world present. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like for you to get your eyes open. You know, Paul going along, killing people, having them killed, having them beaten, having them thrown into prison. And all of a sudden, the scales fell from his eyes. All of a sudden, he saw another world. All of a sudden, going along there, Paul, he began to look, and there was a great light, this great light, and the voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, the one that you persecute. Can you imagine that? Jesus had gone away, folks. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is not in the tomb. Jesus had resurrected. And he said, and who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. I'm Christ. I'm up from the dead. I'm resurrected. Paul, you're persecuting me. In that you do it to the least of these, Paul, you do it unto me. So then he is alive. He is alive. Paul then got his eyes open. He then went away for several years and talked with God. And there was made known unto him the heavenly order. See, that world is present. It is present. It is right here with you. It is right here close by. That world, all you've got to do is get your eyes open. Get your eyes open. Look at Christ and get your mind on Christ. So then, the revelation of the Son of God. Here is John writing about the revelation of the Son of God. He is writing about the expose. And here it is, he said, and the veil is rent in twain. And he looked and the clouds roll back. And beyond the clouds he sees the tabernacle and the temple of God. He said, and I saw the heavens open up. Where was that? It was when the veil was rent in twain. That was the opening of the heavens. Jesus said, I'm in heaven, Nicodemus. That was the opening of the heavens. Someone would say, well, I don't believe it. I said the other day, he proved it when he walked up on the mountain and stood there in his robe glistening and his body glistening, standing there with Moses and Elijah. He appeared in glory. So then we see that God has rent the veil. The heavens is rolling back, and the revelation of Jesus Christ records the rolling back of the heavens. And he said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And John looked up there, and he saw this great thing that was taking place in heaven. Why? The door was open in heaven. John had went through the door. Did you know there's a door open in heaven? I say this a lot of times for them that might not be able to understand. When the shepherd went up, he opened a door. He opened a door. They'd never done that before. As to the shepherd of the sheep, he opened a door. Christ opened a door. And when shepherd went up and opened the door into the celestial, as to our natural world here, then through that went Armstrong on up to the moon and the others out into space, because there's a door that was open in heaven. God let that natural thing happen in this age to let you know that this was the season. This was the time. See, this is the hour. This is the day that the door is open. This is the time of it. There is a door that is open in heaven. God has rent the veil and God has opened the door. And you and I stand here looking toward that great wonderfulness of God. And all we've got to do is pass through that door. That's all we've got to do. If we're willing to do it, if we're willing to move with the Spirit, all we've got to do is go through that door. Now you say, Brother Pike, how am I going through a door? I'm not speaking of your natural body. I'm not speaking of your natural body. Even though Paul said, such a one as I being caught up to the third heavens, I don't know. Or such a one as he spoke of. He said, I don't know whether in the body or out of the body. I can't tell. And there it was. Jesus appeared in heaven in his body. Enoch went up in his body. Elijah in his body. Moses appeared up there in his body. But I'm not talking about going through that door in your body. I'm speaking of being here in the heavenly realm. Being here in the second heaven. Being here in the second heaven. You know, having different ones that come in at different times. I repeat this a lot of times because I've never said it to them, or perhaps they've never seen it. But I say this again. You are in heaven. You are in heaven. Anytime that you got medical aid, anytime that you got medical cure, anytime that you can eat and drink, anytime that you can have the conveniences of life, you are in heaven. Not the third heaven, but you are in heaven. You're in the second heaven, and so is Lucifer. So is the world. With the grace of God coming down upon them, they turning the grace of God into lasciviousness with their worldliness, and going on and still getting the blessings of God until the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, they are in heaven. I say again, folks, if you can't discern it, wait till you get to hell, and then you can tell the difference. If you don't know you're in heaven now, wait till you get to hell, and then when you look back, you'll know that you've been in heaven. So then, this is the second heaven. There is in this second heaven, Lucifer. There is in the second heaven, the woman, heavy with child, ready to bring forth. See, these things are in heaven. Like the vision I saw, I looked up into heaven. And I said, my God, look at all these things that's taking place in heaven. I looked back at the earth, and the people didn't see those things in heaven. But they're taking place in the heavens. Everything that takes place in the spirit is something that's taking place in the heavens. That's why Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as on the spiritual. Said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that you might enter into the joys of the Lord and into the knowledge of God and into the heavenlies, into the spirit world, that you might have these wonderful things coming to your heart, coming to your mind, and enjoy the wonderful glories of God. Paul referred to them as heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. So then when we think of this, we know that the veil has been rent in twain. John wrote about it. So there's something that is taking place. Tonight, we would have to preach for hours and hours and hours, like Paul all night long. Preaching for hours, he was fixing to leave. And so he wanted to get in his best before he left to try to help the people. He'd been tutoring them for about 3 years or more. Sin, we'd have to preach all night long just to get a little bit of the revelation of Jesus Christ into your mind. But numbers of you understand. Some of you have been here with me. Some of you have heard numbers of sermons. See, hundreds of tapes of revelation. Now, let me say this to you. Revelation 10, the book was open. The book was open and John was commanded to go back and teach nations, many people, multitudes. See, the book was open and the angel said, and time shall be no more. Now, when we get right there, I know that there would be a hang up to a lot of people. When you talk about time being no more and time having gone away, somebody would say, you're crazy, you're eccentric, you're out of your mind, Brother Pike. But you people that have been here with us and have heard a little bit of the exhortation of the end of the world, you know what I'm saying. You know that time ended at Calvary. You know that at the rent veil, that was the fullness of time. For in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman and made under the law. That was the fullness of time. And the Bible said, and God gathered everything in heaven and in earth into that body. Just like He did in the days of Noah, as to show that body, saying that this is as the waters of Noah to me. I repeat that so often. So then that means that that was the fullness of time. If that was the fullness of time, then why does time go on? Why does time continue? Why does people go on in the era of time? Why do they continue in the era of time if that was the fullness of time? And if that was the end of the world, as Peter said, why do they continue on? Because their eyes are not open. Because they do not see. Because they are creatures of the natural. It doesn't matter if they're religious. They're creatures of the natural. They go on in the time era. They're still in bondage to time. See, there's a time to be born. That means there's a time to die. But brothers and sisters, when you get beyond time, there is no more time to be born. There is no more time to die. For the Bible said you pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. So then as long as you are a creature of time and in the era of time, then you are in bondage to time. And that means you are in bondage to death. For time will kill you. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, if you're lucky, and then you're gone. Time killed him. See, but they that are eternal never die. We pass from death into life, Brother Taylor, and we shall never die, for the Bible said, God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God. So then the second heaven is fallen. That world is passing away. We brought it out the other day. God placing the world within your heart. We don't have time to elaborate on those things right now. But see, God is causing the world to pass away. And the second heaven is falling. That heaven out there, we spoke of it on tape and in other messages, kind of detailed a few things along. But that heaven is falling. Those lights are falling. What does that mean? The days of the Gentiles are at an end. That religious light is all that they've got. And when that religious light goes out, it's going to be at an end. How many of you remember numbers of years ago when I spoke and I said by 1970 the lights will be well on their way out? How do you remember that? Some of you that was with me. And how many remember in the last few years we spoke of it? And the lights are going out and there won't be no light left. Not one light will be left except the revelation of Jesus Christ. There won't be any other light. Oh, somebody said, glory to God, I've got my ministry, Brother Pike. I've got this. The world's got to know about me and I've got great things I've got to do. That's fine, go do what you've got to do. But I'm telling you like it is. And we spoke in 65 of the great mighty prophet of God, William Branham, how he would go out, and he went out. He went out. Just following our statement just a few months later. Spoke of how that God would spare his wife and daughter when the wreck took place. And so God did. See, and then we spoke of the others, how that they would go out, how that things would happen. And they would go out, and one at a time, the light would go out. And they did. Mighty men went off of the scene. Jack Cole went off of the scene. Men like Oral Roberts talking about God's going to kill him if he don't get money. That's off of the scene. His ministry's over. They said 70% of the people felt like he'd pulled a gimmick. And said his popularity just went down. See, and all these other things that different ones are doing. They speak of the fall of Jim Baker and Tammy. They say they are the fallen ones. That's the way that they give it in the readings and the writings. See, it is those lights that are going out. It is the stars falling from heaven. It is in that second heaven, and all of those are wandering stars. All of that is the gimmicks of the world. I preached to you this morning how that you cannot tell the difference except in Christ. For the Bible said it would be so close to needing the elect, you know, would be deceived if it was possible to deceive them, which it is not. And PTL was deceiving, it looked like, for a while, even the elect, when I cried out against it. And I told you of the corruption. And 7 years ago, when I spoke of the corruption and how that God had rejected him. And the man went out from under the tent of the Carolinas and said, I don't care what Brother Pike says, Jim Baker's too great, he'll never come down. But he did come down, didn't he? And when they checked it back, it was 7 years ago when we spoke about it. So see, that means that the heavens are falling. Those things are falling. Men are coming down. It doesn't matter who it is. They've got to come down. They will come down. For the Bible said, in that day he alone shall be exalted. There won't be anybody else, just Christ alone in that day. And the only way he can be exalted is through the revelation of the Son of God, even Jesus Christ, the revealing of the Son himself, which is the catching away or the translation of the church. So then that don't set right. I know it don't, but it's still right anyhow. So that means that you that understand what we're saying about time shall be no more. You know that time is gone. You know that you're not under the bondage of time anymore. Some of you that have heard the different things that we spoke of, or God having revealed certain things to you, you know that you're not in the era of time. I would say right here, right in the right toward the end of my little exhorting here, I would say everybody that believes what I'm saying as to understanding that time is no more and that you're not a creature of time, that has heard enough to understand that, I want you to stand up just for a minute. Will you do that? Let's give God a hand, can you? Amen, that's right. See, you believe that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible said, let every word be established. You know that's the truth in what you've heard. So then that means that you are an eternal creature. Can you lift your hands up and praise God? You know that you are an eternal creature. And it's your obligation and my obligation to take this to the ends of the world. Isn't that right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, the Bible said. It's your job and it's my job to do that. Isn't that right? So then, this is what I'm speaking of tonight. I want you to remain standing for just a few minutes. See, God is doing something, and the angel sware by him that liveth forever and ever. He lifted his hand to heaven, and he sware by him that liveth forever and ever. He said, and time shall be no more. And we're going to sing that chorus. As Brother Taylor goes back to the organ here, our piano player come. We're going to sing that chorus. If you believe what I'm telling you tonight, that there is a door open in heaven, that the veil has been rent, that God has done something special for you, that the second heaven is coming down and the people that are in that heaven are being rejected, and now the grace is over for that heaven, and now the grace of God is here for the third move of God. Brother Branham called it the third pull. Said this would be a secret thing. This would be something that would move through the people, and they'd never see it. And so it has. It's moved right through them, and even the religious people haven't seen it. But all of a sudden, coming to the front are those that are the elect. Having been given this in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light through the preaching as to the church ages. Now all of a sudden we're beginning to comprehend the heights, the depth, and the width of this great, wonderful revelation, or that is the revealing of the secret of the mysteries of God. And the angel lifted up his hands and swore that time would be no more, and said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. And then he said, time would be no more. We're going to sing that little chorus together, can't we? And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time, can you sing it with me, folks? If you really believe that, sing it with me, because the end of the world is here. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. All right, the altars is open as we sing. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Remember, it's not given to them to know the mysteries. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time said he swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. I know you believe that. I know you do. Give the Lord a hand. Said, and time shall be no more. Glory to God, you eternal creatures. Rejoice, the Bible said, for your redemption is drawing nigh. You believe that? Hallelujah. Can you sing it with me again? And time shall be no more. No more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Now listen, the Bible said in Jesus came to make an end of sin. How many of you believe that Jesus made an end of sin? Come on, let's give God another hand now if you believe that. Said he came to make an end of sin. Hallelujah, that means you can't sin anymore. The Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. For God's seed remaineth in him, and he is born of God. He cannot sin. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands up with me. I want you to close your eyes now. I know that you're believing what I'm saying. I know that you believe it. Now I know that something is happening. We could go on all night long. You know, when you get into the anointing, you get into the Spirit, you could go on all night long. I know that. But folks, you've got a job to do. Isn't that right? To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to win souls, and them that can receive this, help them to find this. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands up. Now, I want you to close your eyes tonight with me. While we're standing here, I want you to examine yourselves. The Bible said, calling those things that are not as though they are. Isn't that right? Somebody said, I'm sick, Brother Pye. Well, all you got to do is say, by his stripes, I'm healed. You know, he was manifested to take away the sins of our life. And the Bible said he came to destroy the works of the devil. Come on, folks. As long as you run around and you feel like, you know, you say, well, God is just chastising me. I'm cast down. I don't feel good. I got aches and pains. I'm going to die of cancer. He'll just have to chastise me down to the end. I'll just bear with him. Folks, don't do that. Just look up and say, glory to God. By his stripes, I'm healed. All of that stuff is the works of the devil. And God came to destroy the works of the devil. God destroyed the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came into the world. As long as you allow that to live in your life, you're going to be under that bondage, folks. But you can be delivered from that if you believe that that is the works of the devil. How do you believe that sickness is the works of the devil? Oppression is the works of the devil. Poverty is the works of the devil. Isn't that right? Being cast down, being sad is the works of the devil. How do you believe that Jesus destroyed the works of the devil? Are you free from the works of the devil? Don't let it live in you, folks. Glory to God, you don't have to. The Bible said not to let it reign in your mortal body. Don't let that devil get in there and reign in your body and talk about chastisement and these kind of things. Say, Lord, I love you. Glory to God, I'm going to work for you. We sing that song, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Let's sing that chorus together before we get away from here tonight, can we? Mm-hmm. Give me another key, Brother Taylor. Mm-hmm.
How many want to be used of God?
Oh, Jesus, use me.
Sing it with me now.
Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there is the work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord help, I will to crumble. For though the task be great, I'll...
How many of you can sing it with me tonight?
Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a word that I...
Somebody say, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Lift up your hands and praise God.
Lord, help my...
Praise Him, folks. God inhabits the praise of His people. Whether you praise Him in the shout, whether you praise Him in the dance, whether you praise Him with a loud voice, whatever it is, you need to praise God. You need to praise God. You need to praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Sing it with me now.
Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work,
hallelujah, that I can do. Can you praise Him?
And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will.
Somebody praise the Lord. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost moving here. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost moving here? We need to praise the Lord. Sing it one more time. Sing it one more time. Take this personal now.
Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? No, Lord, don't refuse me.
For surely there's a work that Brother Pike can do. Can you say that of your own self? Surely there's a work you can do.
And even though it's humble, Lord help my will to crumble. For though
somebody says, but Brother Pine, there's no buts about it. Young and old, middle age, whatever. God wants to use you. God's got a work for you to do. It's time, as David Paul said, for you to do something for God. You need to go tell the world about this. How many of you agree that you need to tell the world about it? If you do, lift up your hands and praise God. Come on, folks. Praise God. Really praise God. If you feel like you've got a job to do, lift up your hands and praise God. You're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. You've got the gifts in your life. You've got the blessings in your life. You've got the Holy Ghost in your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He loves you, folks. He loves you. Get rid of the works of the devil. Get rid of the works of the devil. Don't gossip. Don't backbite. Don't do the things of the world. Don't run after the world. Don't be gullible in the things of the world. We want to do something for Jesus. Isn't that right? The whole world is waiting on you. The whole world is waiting on you. You say, Brother Pike, what makes you think they're waiting on me? Because you've got the answer. Christ is the answer. You've got the answer. How many believe you've got the answer tonight? Look what's happening to the great men of the earth. Look at them. You know what's happening to them? Because building PTL, that ain't the answer, folks. That ain't the answer. Having great television programs ain't the answer. Being famous, being popular, that's not the answer. Glory to God, but Christ is the answer, and you've got Christ. The Word of God is the answer. The revelation of the Son of God is the answer. And the world is waiting for you to reveal the mysteries to them. Can you go preach to them? Come on, folks, let's worship God. You're not worshiping God. Let's worship God. Before we leave you tonight, let's worship God. May your heart go out to God. Your minds go out to God. Reach out. Come on now, get that out of you. Get it out of you. Get the works of the devil out of you. Condemn the works of the devil.
call sickness of the devil, call oppression of the devil, call poverty of the devil, call gossip, backbiting, all of those things of the devil. Leave those things, the frolic of the world, the ball games, all of the television shows, the works of the devil. And God came to destroy the works of the devil. You love the Lord? Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to sing that one more time. Come on now, let's sing that again. Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? Sing it with me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. Can you? And even though it's humble, God help my will to crumble. For though the cross, we're going to sing it again. Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that Brother Pike can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. I tell you what we're going to do right here for just a minute. I want to get my ministers to come up here for just a minute. The Lord dealt with me about this. There's some of you that's had some problems with sickness, you know, and now is the hour. They sing that song, Now is the Hour. Brother Jack, come up here, if you will. Brother Philip, come up here, if you will. Brother Arrowwood, come up here, if you will. Different ministers. You that are ministers, you know who you are. You know, I might not know you as a minister. I might never have met you. But I want you to come up here. David Paul, come up here and stand with us. All right, just come on up, Jack, and stand up here with us, if you will. This man has had a terrific testimony, something that really thrills my soul. Now, you that are sick, you that are having problems, I want you to press in right here. Will you do that? Come around there and press in. Brother Arrowwood here is with us tonight. He's been down in Mexico. I've been reading some good things about him. The devil's been fighting him, but he's been holding on. And he's been fighting the devil, and he's been overcoming. Glory to God, that makes me feel good every time I think about it. I said, he's been overcoming. The Bible said, and he that overcometh. How many of you have overcome? Let me see your hand. And the Bible said, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Isn't that right? Testifying to the blood of the Lamb. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Come up here, Atlee, and pray with us. Hallelujah. Brother Atlee Beach, come up here and pray with us. You love the Lord? All right. I want you to just stretch your hands out in this direction tonight. Would you do that, people? Would you do that, folks? I tell you what, everyone that hears us tonight, we're going to pray the prayer of faith. And the Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. And tonight, if you've done any sins, if you've done any wrongs, the Bible said the minister has the power to remit sins. Isn't that right? He can remit your sins by your faith in God, or he can retain your sins. For the Bible said, whosoever sins he remits shall be remitted. Whosoever sins he retains shall be retained. Isn't that right? And the Bible said, them that he blesses will be blessed, and them that he curses will be cursed. For he is the minister of God, he is the revenger of God, to execute judgment upon them that do evil. And he said to the prophets, I've set you over the nations, that you may pluck up and that you might plant. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah! I feel God. Don't you feel God? I feel the anointing of God and the presence of God here tonight. I feel faith in God. When your faith goes up to God, something begins to take place, folks. So then while you're standing with your hands in this direction, I want my ministers to turn around and look right at you. And I want them to lift their hands up to God and put their hands out over you. Whosoever sins they remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins they retain shall be retained. Whatever they bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever they loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. They're God's ministers. They're God's ministers. Lift up your hands, sheep, to the ministers. And as they lift their hands out there to you, they want to pray for you. And God's going to bless you if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now's the time to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you want to be healed, now's the time to be healed. If you want to get rid of the works of the devil, now's the time to get rid of the works of the devil. Come on, folks, let's praise God. Let's praise God. While these ministers are praying for you, let's praise God tonight. God wants to bless you tonight. I can feel him moving tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Can you praise the Lord? God inhabits the praise of his people. So tonight, while we pray, while they pray, get your blessing tonight. Get your healing tonight. Get your deliverance tonight. And then go out and heal somebody and deliver somebody and tell somebody and let this great family of God grow bigger and bigger. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as these ministers are praying, I pray, oh God, that you would look down from heaven. May your great spirit come down, Heavenly Father, and may these people be healed tonight. We're stretching out hands over these people. Faith is here, Father. And God, we feel you healing tonight. We feel you delivering tonight. We feel that you're going to do something special tonight. May somebody receive their healing tonight. May somebody receive their deliverance tonight, oh God. May they go away feeling free tonight in the Spirit of God, knowing that wherever the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. May they go away rejoicing in the Lord. May they go away in victory tonight, God. May they go away in that supernatural strength and power of endurance tonight. May they touch heaven tonight. And may the glory of God shine upon them. Oh God, may they be strong and forceful in the power of God and in the deliverance of God to be healed tonight. Oh God, take away cancer tonight, Father. Take away the evils of the hearts tonight, these hearts tonight. Oh God, that may be contaminated with wrong. Father, take away the sadness. Take away the poverty. These that are having problems with their children, Heavenly Father, may they be delivered. May God break the yoke and bring those children in. Hallelujah. I feel your spirit beginning to move out through the earth, God. May it start and move out across the entire world till everybody's shaken by the Spirit of the living God and the bondage is broken and the children of God shout and praise thee and come together in the name of the Lord. Father, to do thy will and to bring thy blessings, I ask you to do this in the wonderful name of the Son of God tonight. Lift your hands up and close your eyes tonight, folks. While they're praying over you, I feel the deliverance of God, don't you? Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel good. Don't you feel good? Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song here that I really like. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor, we're going to talk about the old time religion. Hallelujah. Love the Lord, say amen. Let's sing this together. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Brother Leon, come up here. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Hallelujah! Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's gonna sing it with me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. I was just watching this little girl here, and I see that she got Jack's heart too. I was watching her raise little girl stand up here just to praising God, you know. And it got a hold of Jack's heart. It did mine too. She was really praising God. Let's sing that again. And the Bible said, out of the mouth of sucklings and babes, God hath perfected praise. Isn't that right? Well, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old time religion, and sing it with me, folks. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Somebody say hallelujah. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Come on, sing it, folks. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me. Can you sing it with me tonight? It was good for my mother and my father. It was good for my mother. Sing it with me. And it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time.